and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman, where you'll learn to awaken your divine intuition and open your human heart. Sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and learn. Here's Sarah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. That would be me, Sarah Wiseman. Today, we are doing a couple things. We are, of course, doing free readings Tuesday, and you can call in live to 844-390-8255. That is 844-390-8255. And I'm just so happy to speak with you about, and I don't really like to do the oracle style readings, like this is what will happen. It's really a chance to work together from spiritual perspective on whatever's going on in your life. And this could include, an event that's going on, a situation, or maybe, and what I especially like to look at is if you've been having a lot of signs of awakening, or you're having a lot of synchronicities, or other things are starting to happen for you, you're having either an awakening or a period of revived awakening that happens after you've become awake over and over and over again in this process of expansion. Love to hear from you and just share and see what's going on for you. Again, it's free readings Tuesday, 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255. So the topic for today, housekeeping, let's see. Today we are, have a couple, we are all sold out for summer 2021 Intuition University. So if you miss that registration, and again, it goes really fast, almost like I mentioned it and then it's sold out, which is great if you got in on that round, but not so great if you missed it. So if you'd like to sign up, you can be super early for fall, which will start in September. We register four times a year for Intuition University training, a group training with me. And then for our monthly course for May, we are working on Heal Your Family Karma, the Family Karma Project. It's just $15. You'll find it at sarahwiseman.com. It is a super intense. It's a pretty short course, but it's super intense. And if you have stuff, trauma, wounding, need of healing in your ancestry or your lineage or your immediate family or your family that you have created, this is a great way to look at things from spiritual perspective. And then also I've started something new. I have a lot of really great resources on the website, and I decided that I want to begin having that be a free membership program. So it's a premium membership. It's free. But those people who sign up for that premium membership that's free are going to get first access to divine astrology, intuitology, divine inspiration, special discounts if I have them, advance notice of all the courses and all the training, special offers, just like it's a way that I can figure out who's really interested and kind of send that stuff that you guys want to you directly and kind of help me know who you are. So it's a premium membership. It's free and it's at sarahwiseman.com. And, anyway, just go take a look and I'll be talking about that more. It's something new. I just want to kind of build us as spiritual community so that we can be supported. I can support you better and then we can start to connect and support each other better. Today, we are talking about how do relationships change as we become spiritually aware. And this is a massively interesting topic because most of our soul lessons are learned through relationship to other people. Initially, we drop into a family of origin that may or may not be the perfect place for us to have that beautiful seedling grounding. It may be perfect, it may be terrible, but this is where we drop in. And those early relationships with mother, father, grandparents, if you knew them, siblings, if you had them, people in the household that you may or may not be related to biologically, those relationships, the people that you are living with early on, kind of when you drop in a very vulnerable and open state, that's where you get your training on what's happening in the family. And that's also where you get your conditioning about how you perceive the outer world. Is it a safe place? Are you taught that? Or are you taught it's a dangerous place? Are you taught certain types of people are dangerous, certain situations are dangerous? Or again, are you taught it's a safe place? Where you drop in, you don't just drop into your family. Even in modern culture where our ethnic or cultural identity is not as strong as it used to be for our parents or grandparents, even so, we're dropped into a culture. And so we take on all of the ideas that the culture brings to us. Again, we're these little, you know, tender, open sponges, and we just absorb it in, correct or incorrect, true or not true, we just take it all in. And so then as we progress as spiritual beings, we begin to hopefully, you know, we have this break at around, you know, at the time when a lot of people either leave school to go to work or they leave school and go to college, where they leave and travel or they leave and move somewhere else. They move outside of that family of origin. And this is the first time when we start to choose relationships that are not dictated by that family or cultural belief system. We have that first taste of freedom. And so sometimes we choose the exact same mirror or parallel to what we were raised with. This is usually what happens. And then we go a little further and we start seeing how those relationships work and the types of soul lessons we are learning with the people in our lives. And then we go a little bit further and we come to a place, and this is what I would describe as one of the first key pieces of spiritual awakening, is we start to look at the relationships in our life, not as absolute fact, but like, this is my relationship to a parent, or this is my relationship to a sibling, or this is my relationship to a partner or spouse. And instead of thinking these are absolute, there's no choice in the matter, I've signed up for this, I was born into this, or I'm married into this, or I have blood relationships with this. And then we realize that when you look at soul perspective, that isn't true. As souls, we drop into these groups with these soul clusters of other people to learn soul lessons. And a lot of times our destiny with particular souls is not pleasant, right? We drop into relationships that are the most toxic, the most unbelievably awful, the most sad, you know what these are. Everybody's like, yeah, I had those, or I'm in those, or I'm trying to get out of those, whatever it is for you. But we drop into these relationships and then we have to decide, we follow this cultural norm, which just says, stick to it. You owe them, you know, if you sign up, or if this is family, or this is marriage, or, you have to stick with it no matter how toxic it is. And one of the pieces of becoming spiritual awake, and one of the lessons of spiritual awakening, is you get to decide if the soul lesson that you are learning with this person, how quickly you're going to move through it. So if you're in a very toxic relationship with, let's say, a parent, you get to decide as an adult becoming spiritually awakened and working on your own expansion, you get to decide which is the more beneficial to both of you as souls, to stay in the toxic relationship and maybe work it out, or to go your separate way, or some kind of combination of those approaches. Or if you're in a toxic relationship in a partnership, you have to decide, do I stay in this toxic relationship because it's a vow I made, you know, 5 years ago, or do I realize it's unfixable? And so we begin to process these ideas of what karma is still being worked on, what karma has the chance to be worked on in a particular lifetime, and what karma, for whatever reason, is not going to be solved, and it becomes dysfunctional for all parties involved to even bother to continue in this lifetime. Now, it is true that the people we were in our 20s were very different in our 40s, in our 50s, 60s, 80s, and onward. And so some people think, I'm just going to wait it out over time, things will mellow out and get different. Maybe, but you need to look at the difference between being passive and hiding in terms of facing the karma and soul lessons you're working on with someone, and the difference between looking at it straight on and saying, I can't fix this. This other person is unwilling to work with me. Best choice for me is to disengage. There's no set answer, but this is part of the process of becoming spiritually awake. It's sifting and sorting through those dysfunctional relationships and making some decisions. Is this karma that can be worked out successfully over this lifetime? Or is this karma impossible? The other person won't engage, you won't engage, nobody's working on it, and it's just time to let go. And see which other of the bazillion souls there are out there that I can learn soul lessons with. How do relationships change as we become spiritually awake? We get more discerning and we begin to choose relationships that are healthy, compassionate, peaceful, harmonious, fun, enjoyable, and full of love. And if you're not experiencing that in relationships, this is the time to begin to take a look. I think the class, the Family Karma Project that I mentioned earlier, is really a good way to look at this. And also there's another project called the Self-Love Project. If you go to the courses page on the website, they're all just $15. The more work you do, the easier your life gets. The more you sift through the tough stuff, the easier everything becomes, the more you start to live in flow. Alrighty, so we do have a free readings Tuesday. You can call into 844-390-8255. It's 844-390-8255. And it looks like we have Joan calling from Cleveland. Joan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. It's so nice to talk to you.
You also. What can I help you out with today?
Well, I just had my hip replaced 2 weeks ago, and I think I'm, among other things, right now this was kind of taking precedence. I'm wondering why I've had all these orthopedic problems I've had, or am I missing something and not getting the message that I'm meant to? In the past 10 years, I've had two Achilles tendon ruptures, a rupture on the top of my foot of a tendon, two knee replacements, this hip replacement, and my other hip is very bad. So as soon as I recover, I need to have the other one done. And I've kind of breezed through all of the recoveries up till now, but I'm starting to think maybe I'm not learning the lesson that I'm meant to learn. Do you have any idea what could be going on?
Yeah, well, you know, we all have different bodies that come with different issues as we get older. But there are also people that are, you know, super proactive about their health. They eat really well and they exercise a lot, and they have a belief system of never having a problem. And other people have a belief system that traditional medicine is like a good thing and the way to go. And I think that you probably have, to some degree, a belief system that traditional medicine is like helpful or useful. Do you think that's correct?
Yeah, I worked in healthcare until I retired almost 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah. So it can be interesting to, so if we look at the idea that traditional medicine is good, that's one way of thinking. And then if we look at all the people that think alternative medicine is good, that's one way of thinking. And then we look at all the people that think spiritual healing is good. You know, it's not that one is better than the other. These are belief systems. And so if you're not finding what you need from the belief system that you've been using, which is traditional medicine, it can be really interesting to go explore some of the other belief paradigms and see what's there. It kind of feels like you've to some extent run your course with some of this idea of traditional medicine in your own mind, and you're really ready to look at some different ways. And it also feels like, it feels to me like there's some pretty big sadness in you. And now if you just had your hip replaced, of course, you're not going to be super happy at the moment, but it feels like there's some deeper stuff that's needing to be worked on, that's not really getting addressed by all of these surgeries and procedures. It feels like it's deeper within. Do you know what that is, or do you know what those inner things are?
Yes. Well, I believe there's a number of things, and I am open to Reiki. I did take a Reiki 1 course. I'm open to different, I'm starting to dabble in different ways of healing and feeling better and just healing that inner me.
Yeah. How old are you?
69.
Yeah, so this is really the most appropriate, like, I think probably around starting at like maybe 50 is when people start to finally get into their deep inner trauma. And even if we didn't have, you know, the most traumatic lives, we still had trauma because we're human. And so using this time as, you know, we kind of go in and look at like, here's my life. What's still unprocessed or what still hasn't been resolved. And it feels like that's the process that's going to alleviate more of what you're looking for help for than another procedure. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't do this other hip. That's different. But in general, it's like you need that inner time for yourself to just process the whole life you've been through. And that's the most valuable part. I'm not sure that it's not like you don't want to like, I'm going to get Reiki and heal myself. It's really, I'm going to look at everything in my life and see what still needs attention. See where I'm still hurt.
Yeah,
inside.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of places because once I got married and we had children and then my husband was an alcoholic and left, my life was on fast forward from in my 30s until now, just raising kids, dealing with their problems, working, providing for them, that now I finally have the time where I can sit down and look at everything that happened and kind of process it and see where I need to be healed.
And then also maybe looking like our topic today, looking at your wanting to be involved with any relationships from the past, even if it is your kids, sometimes we need, you know, breathers or even breaks. If there's a lot of, you know, like alcohol or any addiction, there's going to be dysfunction. And so it's a lot of trauma for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is where, so, and it also, it sounds like that is harder work than getting a procedure. But once you get started, you know, after the first couple days of like, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel pain. Emotional pain. I have to dredge up this past again. It's like, and then it's just like, okay, yeah, I am. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to just going to deal with it. And it becomes easier and easier and much easier than a procedure actually. So.
Yeah. The only problem with my other hip, I do need to have it done because I walk on my knees, my hip, until the bones are like locked into my pelvis.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not saying don't do that. I mean, that's up to your doctor, but just what I'm sensing is that there's deeper stuff that is what's the real thing calling for your attention in a bigger, like you as a soul need to do this healing of the past. So,
I believe, right, yes.
Yeah, and I also find that being around people similar age, like it's hard with COVID because we can't have these, you know, support groups. But being with a group of like 10 women, that would be awesome for you to just discuss your lives, like, and just kind of get down to all the things you went through and all the things you experienced and kind of have some peace with that, have some peace with what you experienced. Yeah.
Yes. And I would like to be able to find a group of women that I could be with. Do I just put it out there to the universe and
just put it out there. Maybe it's something
it
on Zoom or maybe it's something on Zoom that you could join in and have a little support group as you're processing your life of like-minded, spiritual, like-minded people of a similar age that have also been through, you know, all the stuff that we, after we
get
through
a
certain amount of decades, it's like, oh my goodness, we've been through a lot. So, And the other thing, Joan, is I'm guessing your mom and your grandmother never did this kind of inner work, right? Like those generations didn't have the idea that you could do inner work. So it's very pioneering to do this, and it will absolutely benefit you in really big ways that you can't even see yet.
Okay.
Hey, thank you for calling into the program.
That sounds good.
I wish you the best. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, we are people of a certain age, I'd say 40 and over on this, maybe a little older. As women, we are of a different generation than the grandmothers or the mothers who did not have inner work as something in the vocabulary. Maybe they had psychotherapy. A lot of people took, like in the past, it was very common for women to take pills for anxiety and so forth. And now we're really able to be the first generation or the early generations to really go deep on looking at past trauma, and not looking at past trauma necessarily from a psychotherapy or psychological aspect, but looking at it from spiritual perspective. It's pretty interesting work. You go back in, you had all these experiences, and then you come to terms with it. You know, this is kind of our life journey. We experience, and then we like process and integrate. Today is Read Readings Tuesday, and you can call in. The lines are open right now. You can call in to 844-390-8255. I want to also talk a little bit about how we know when relationships need to have some boundary on them, especially these, as we're getting more awake. How do we know when we're being called to make changes? And sometimes it's the events in a relationship. Someone will do the final straw thing, and you'll be just like, I can't do this anymore. And having a boundary is an incredibly wise spiritual choice. Again, we're seeking relationships that are compassionate, harmonious, peaceful, loving, fun, trustworthy, safe, comfortable. If you have relationships that aren't those things, then they are not up to par. They are not up to par with the spiritual being that you are or that you are becoming. And so it's time to look at how to set boundary around that. Let us go now. And we have Melissa calling from New York area. Melissa, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. What is on your mind today?
I have a lot on my mind, but you were talking about the family karma. And I seem to have been sick in it this past week with all of my children, actually, my all adult children. I'm just wondering if there's anything that Spirit has to offer me as to help make my interactions with my children a little better, as far as, you know, like letting the past be in the past. And they're just, sometimes it seems like they just grudge up old things.
Yeah.
And I had my son-in-law tell me the other day that my daughter reacted in a certain way to a situation was my fault. And for a second, I let it go in my brain, but then I stopped it. So thank you for teaching me the difference. But yeah, I'm just wondering if there's something more that I'm missing.
How old are they? How old are your children?
They range from 38 down to 32.
Okay. So they are bona fide adults, whether they act like it or not. Yeah, what I'm receiving on this is it's fine to let the past be the past. We were all, at least I was young once, and I was not the best behaved person in the universe. I know that.
Right.
I have a seared into my brain is an image when I was in my teens and I crawled back into my bedroom window and my mom was standing there with her hands on her hips. Who knows what I was doing, but it was not good, right? So we all have that.
Right.
Yeah. And so all that stuff, you know, that was the past. Maybe you set a time limit in your own mind from 28 and before.
Right.
Just give them a pass. But there also seems to be, you guys seem to have some dysfunctional communication styles. And this is,
they do.
So that's the place. And you might look at, I'm not really sure what to recommend, but there's like nonviolent communication as a system, or being in communication in a very clear way so you don't allow all this drama to get going. And they feel like they are just like the drama and the gossip and the manipulate bunch, not because they are trying to cause harm, but because they're just used to interacting that way. And so I even think with them, like, I don't text with some of my adult kids because it's not a useful method of communication. There's something about, like, you're talking to them and they're texting each other. And it's just really bad.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got to work on a new system of communication with them that's much more straightforward. And if they won't participate, it's like you're retraining them. If they don't participate, you don't participate.
Right.
Like, we're gonna talk in person, or we're gonna talk on a conference call on the phone, but we are not gonna do this.
Okay.
He said, she said, blah 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 blah. We're done with that. And that
They all watched my ex do that to me.
Yes.
And my kids are very good to me. However, I see with their communications with one another, I can see where they're splintering, and you don't want your family, but that I know that it's their path. Like I said, I'm so much better where I am today versus 5 years ago, because I would have been, oh my God, trying to fix everything, but that's the old me. But I just was wondering, like I said, what would be the best way? Because, you know, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on with me personally, and I just want to make sure that, you know, obviously they know I'm the one to come to if they have an issue. However, I've also had to put those huge boundaries. And when I heard you speaking about boundaries, I picked up the phone because it's been a huge game changer in my life.
So, Melissa, I would say you are no longer the one that they should come to for an issue. If they were 22, yes, but now you need to free yourself from that responsibility. Otherwise, you're going to be 89 years old and they'll still be like, oh, mom, help me. It's like, no, you've got to get them out of the nest again.
I won't do that
boundary. So really better, a different way of communicating and taking yourself. They're too old and you're too old to be the problem solver. They have to be their problem solvers. Yeah, it's a process.
And they have
the spouses are being, they have their problem.
I know, but you know what's happening? The spouses call me.
No, don't allow
I'm
that.
Like, wait a minute here.
So it's, and so I want to say one last thing, Melissa. It does feed your ego or my ego to have people have our kids call us. Oh, which, and then we're like the big fixers, but it's not useful to anyone. Take yourself out of that position. Everyone will benefit, including
you.
Thanks for calling us. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
I'll be in contact.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, it's we are helpers. We like to help people, and that is great until it's not. And if your family members are over 25, like, let it go. Again, we're in this different generation, right? Where we're, because there's more communication systems, because people have different experiences than our parents or our grandparents. But it does nobody good to have those tethers be permanent. You can have the tether of love. You can have the tether of caring. But the tethering of I will help you, or I will fix it, or I will advise you, or I will tell you, those are ready to be released as soon as your child is independent. Let it go. Give them that gift of being autonomous, and give yourself the gift of having your own life instead of just a life that revolves around the children. There's a reason people leave home. There's a reason people leave home, because they're ready to. And so that there's that the person who was at home, the parent, they need to get on with their own life. And if they don't know what their life is, then that is the process of what they figure out. That is the next spiritual step. We do this. If we had kids, we'd do that. And then you go to the next stage, which is not in the mother or father role. So I want to just read you a little bit about this idea of paying attention to events. And again, we have free readings Tuesday. Lines are open, 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255, and lines are open. So this is from Messages from the Divine. Guidance arrives in events. When things change in your life, please pay attention. A sudden shift in the patterning of your life is one of the ways the universe communicates with you. Sometimes this seems to happen out of the blue. Even with all your attention to signs, synchronicities, strands, you seem to miss what is happening as it happens. And then it just shows up. Sometimes this shift can be enormously enjoyable and exhilarating. The seemingly instantaneous success of a project, the meeting of a new love, an invitation to travel, and so forth. This is the best aspect of flow when you are sailing along your perfect river, letting the universe lead you, not worried about anything, just doing your dharma, and then something fabulous, wonderful, amazing happens. You experience what is beyond your wildest dream. You experience what answers the calling of your inner heart and then expands upon that, that over-delivers the vision you have been working toward, moving toward for all these days, months, even years. These are wonderful times worthy of celebration. However, there are also times when sudden shifts come that do not initially seem positive in nature. Sudden illness, loss of job, loss of finances, death of a loved one, loss of relationship. These life events knock us off balance, sending us spiraling down into grief and pain and fear. These events also guidance from a benevolent universe are not so easy to swallow. Remember, you are here for soul growth. You are here for connection, expansion, love. You are here to become transcendent in God. There is no other purpose. Thus, if on your chosen human track or path, you are not making progress at the rate that you are ready for, the universe may step in and guide you, nudge you, propel you onto your path of highest possibilities. Sometimes your life events are joyous, sometimes difficult, but always, whether good or bad, they serve to wake you up. They pull you out of complacency, stuckness, stubbornness, fear, and invite you to open your heart to its fullest capacity. You know, this is when we have situations in relationship, what we're talking about today. Bad stuff happens. This is a way that the universe nudges us to look at things, to process, to integrate, and to decide how can we go further forward with open heart? How can we go into connection and expansion and love? All right, we have on the phone waiting for us, Lois from New York. Lois, welcome to the program.
Hi, good afternoon, or hi. Good afternoon here in New York, anyway. Hi, I hope you can hear me. This was very fun. I saw an email that you were on right now, and I jumped on the phone and feel very lucky that I got through to you. I'm such a fan, and I've subscribed to a number of your workshops and whatever, and I just think you're brilliant. You've helped me so much. But, okay, what's on my mind now is I would love your insight. I'm a real late bloomer. Anyway, I was in the design field for about 15 years. In the past few years, my husband was very sick, so I kind of stepped away from everything and was caretaking. And I'm thinking of segueing back into the real estate realm and trying to combine what I did in the interior design work with selling real estate in my area. And I don't know if I'm crazy to even think about it at my age, but I just feel like I'm being called to do it. And I had someone who was reaching out to help me, who is very successful in the field, but it's also an old friend. And I'm just, it feels right, but I'm not sure if I'm delusional and thinking that I can pull this off or if, you know, there's something else for me. But I know I'm not finished yet, so...
How old are you?
I'm almost 69.
Yeah.
I'm going to be 69 in July. But
you know, some of the most amazing writers and artists and photographers, they were late bloomers and then they bloomed yet again even later. And your design is going to, and remember that lady, oh, what's her name? Like maybe it was like Iris, but she had really big glasses. She was like a fashion person.
Oh, Iris DePelle. Yeah, I love her.
So she can be your template or your model. I mean, there's lots of people, but I'm getting so many yeses on the design and the aesthetic and all of that for you. It's just like so much yes that it's pretty thrilling. And the only piece is you may need to get some refresher on your technology, which is not as hard as it sounds, but the aesthetic eye.
Yeah, you're right.
Actually, yeah. Well, the aesthetic eye for you has actually improved. You're much stronger visually than you used to be, actually. It's like almost like you've come into your own. So don't waste this chance thinking, oh, I got to get the money. It's like it's a waste of your particular gifts to do the real estate. It would be interesting to go to, I'm sure they have this where you are. I mean, you could do that as a money thing, but that shouldn't be your focus. You shouldn't be trying to like climb the real estate ladder or... your ability to create.
I know it doesn't feel right.
No, it's just a possible maybe way to make money. But I actually think that your aesthetic, put in combination with technology, and maybe you don't do the technology. Maybe you hire somebody younger to do that.
Yes.
But that's where it is. That's where it is. There is so much cool stuff out there now, and you can apply your own, your own understanding of what you learned when you were younger doing that work. You can bring that forward, and everyone will be like, what is this? This is new. It's just pretty fascinating.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, that sounds exciting, but I definitely need to find someone to help me with it because I am all thumbs, not all thumbs. I know what I need to know to negotiate my way around a PC or my iPad, but there's just such a high learning curve with this. And it's like there are so many distractions in life at this age because I just want to like get to it already. And
yeah.
I just feel like I'm floundering a little bit, but
Would you consider taking, so I used to be a creative director before I did all this stuff, actually, and I worked with tons of designers and photographers, and there are a lot of really good, and I'm sure in your area, you know, art schools with community classes, and I think if you just took one thing, you'd be like, yes, I'm home. Here's where my heart is. This is what I want to do. And then you would also start to meet people. And it's fine if they're younger, if they're in their 20s. That's no problem. You just go with your aesthetic. And there's a whole different way of communicating about design than you probably experienced before. It's very refreshing. It's very respectful, and it's a lot of fun. So, yeah, I think the starting point would be, don't try and just sweat it out on your, like, in your room with your own, like, go be in community and take some kind of class, and that will open all the doors for you. So it's pretty
great. That's my style. The real estate is, I've been brought in to help someone who's overflowing with business show houses, and as a way that I kept my license on the back burner because I want to help with my family when it comes to that. But I just, my heart in selling real estate, I just look at the house and I see it redesigned in my head, and that's where, that's where I'm going with this. And, you know, people think they know it. I mean, it's, my heart really is in the design world. It isn't in selling real estate. However, they kind of do go together, and the money would, the money is amazing, but it tires me out to think about getting on that marketing real estate thing. It's not my thing. The design thing, my energy goes up when I think about it.
An artist is an artist. You know, a visual person is a visual person. And if you have those gifts, that's what, if you have a, you know, the realtor, they need to have sales gifts. Yeah. If you have design gifts, and yeah, you can do that for a while, and but you'll soon replace that with, I mean, even you could do a staging business or something. I don't know. But those things will all become apparent to you as you start to rub shoulders with more artists and so forth. Yeah. It's exciting.
I do. I have to get back to a school in the city. I think I'm not far from Manhattan. So,
yes, perfect. They'll have great people.
I don't have any.
Yeah. Hey, Lois, thank you for calling.
I'm going to look into it.
Yeah. Thank you. Good luck to you.
Thank you. I love you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day. All right.
You too. Thanks.
I'll be.
Yeah. You know, guys, if your heart is calling for something, if you have gifts, wow, that's what you're supposed to be using, right? And there are people listening right now who have gifts in real estate, right? It's not that real estate is less than. It's just that some people have those gifts, and some people are good at cooking, and some people are good at writing, and, you know, whatever it is, you just use your best thing, and your best thing mostly is almost always the thing that makes you happiest, the thing that you can go furthest in, the thing that you can support yourself with. We're given our gifts and talents so that we can use them out in the world. That's part of our contribution, right? That's part of why we end up with what we end up with. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap up the show for today. So we'll be back next week reminding you. So right now we have the Family Karma Project, for those of you interested in diving very deep into healing your family and your ancestry. That's $15. It's at sarahwiseman.com. Remembering also that we have the premium membership is new. It's completely free. It's always going to be free. And you can go get signed up for that on the website, sarahwiseman.com, and that'll give you access to a whole bunch more stuff than you're probably even know about. And as more stuff comes, more resources comes, those premium members are the ones who are going to get that exclusively. So it's a pretty cool thing. Everybody, thank you for listening. Again, you'll find me at sarahwiseman.com. Thanks for listening, and look forward to being with you next week.